Hello, listeners. As you are probably aware, my book, Podcasting for Business, How to Create a Show That Makes a Bottom Line Difference for Your Company, is going to be officially released on September 10th. So to give everyone a deep dive into exactly what the book contains and how it can be used to improve your podcasting investment, I got together with Tom Fox of the Compliance Podcast Network to record a 10-episode mini-series on exactly that. It's all releasing on the Compliance Podcast Network. You'll find a link in the show notes. And I'm also going to be releasing one episode here on the company show every day until launch. I know you'll enjoy it. And if you want to get a copy of the book, you can do so at podcastingforbusiness.com/book.
This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new podcast entitled Podcasting for Business, The Book. In this podcast, we will explore the powerful intersection of podcasting and business growth. In this exploration, I'm joined by one of the business podcast industry's top experts, Megan Doherty, to discuss her game-changing book, Podcasting for Business. Whether you're a podcasting pro or just starting out, this podcast and Megan's book will be your go-to resource for turning your passion for podcasting into a powerful business tool. In this series, we'll take a look at the reason Megan wrote this book, the role of a podcast for business, and why your podcast blueprint acts as your prime directive. We look at the value math of podcasts and take a deep dive into the 15 metrics Megan suggests you consider using. We look at combining blueprints and metrics moving forward for your podcast. We say some words on recording and post-production, sound and audio quality, and then putting it all together. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Megan Doherty on why you should listen to this podcast and, more importantly, buy her book, Podcasting for Business. Megan, give me three reasons why a listener should read this book.
Because number one, there actually is a formula for profitable podcasting. Two, it's all in the book, Podcasting for Business. And three, any business can take this information and apply it and start seeing a better return on their podcasting investment.
In our continuing exploration of metrics for business podcast, in this episode, we take a look at the following metrics: brand awareness, social media engagement, list growth, sales qualified leads, and product sales. I know you'll enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox back again with Megan Doherty for another episode of Podcasting for Business, The Book. Welcome back, Megan.
Thank you so much, Tom, and everyone listening. So glad to be here.
We are continuing our journey into the 15 metrics that you advocate a business podcaster consider for their podcast. So we're going to continue that exploration with brand awareness. Now, I think everyone would agree that's something that is important, but how can you put a metric or rigor around brand awareness, Megan?
So this was one of the more challenging ones to develop, but because it's something that's so valuable to so many businesses and so important for businesses to have, our definition that we're using here is basically how aware of you, your company, your brand, your audience, or the world at large is. And because we're not psychic, we don't know necessarily how much people are thinking about us or how much of their brains we occupy. And surveys, which is the other way to get that kind of information, can be really expensive and time consuming. What we want to look at is, how often are you being referenced? Are you being talked about? Are you being shared about? And are you being cited without you having to specifically go out and ask for those mentions or citations or quotations? So this happens when you are becoming a thought leader. If you are doing it right, and if you're really creating thought leadership instead of just interviewing other people and calling it thought leadership, then people are going to want to talk about what you're saying, because you're setting the tone for your industry and you're creating conversations and you're helping to dictate what people in your industry should be talking about and thinking about. When that happens, hopefully people are going to be linking to your work and they're going to be mentioning you and they're going to be pulling you into conversations and inviting you to expound on and continue exploring these ideas with them. So that's what you can be optimizing a podcast for, is kind of creating the podcast that people want to do that, and then making sure that the people who are making those decisions about who to reference and who to cite and who to quote are aware of you.
Which format does this fit into, Megan?
This is a really good optimization if you've got a thought leadership podcast, of course, and it can also work well with audience engagement. For thought leadership, of course, you're creating the thought leadership. And within audience engagement, because you've got people who are already coming to you, you've already got that built-in authority as someone who is trusted by other humans.
And really, this is also one that works well with all of your five blueprints. Can you give us an example, perhaps?
Yeah, there was a show I worked on a couple of years ago, and you can read all of the details about this in the book, of course. But it was a nonprofit organization that was working with family members of people who had been diagnosed with glioblastomas and different brain cancers. And there was an active community and lots of people talking about this, because when it does happen, you seek out community and you try to find resources. And because of her awareness of the space and what people were talking about, what people needed, she was able to create content that was highly relevant to them. And she was able to organize it in such a way, very much using hashtags and a different kind of social media functionality to make sure that her content was easily found. And she said that as soon as she released this and started releasing it, she was becoming a part of those conversations that were happening with other organizations. And it was a really elegant way of getting this information to the people who needed it. And she was recognized for doing that work right away.
Megan, our next one is something close, but it's also something near and dear to my heart. And that's social media engagement. What is social media engagement, at least in the context of a metric? And then what blueprint does it fit?
Yeah, so this is social media engagement, of course, is people who respond to you or connect with, answer questions, reshare, post, comment, and heart, whatever the mechanism is on a given channel, with the content that you put out about your podcast. And not every business is pursuing this as a strategy. I know, Tom, you're a big fan of it. I myself am not, but still try to have enough of a presence to keep things going. And what you... In the context of a business podcast, you optimize for the end. It is two levels. On the episode, it's you bring people in and you maybe mention comments that you have or conversations that you have, or you give really clear directions. This is how I want you to engage with me and about this episode. Share your pictures of this on social media. Answer this question on the social media channel that I'm really optimizing for. And then on the promotion end, it's making sure that there is content there for people to engage with, and that you are responding when people do. So that dialogue that starts off as one to many with your podcast becomes two ways. And you can even bring that back into your podcast and share listener stories and shared examples from social. And it can become this flywheel of a conversation, really, that you're having with your audience.
Could you give us an example or two, Megan?
Absolutely. So my one of my favorite types of episodes to produce are Q&A podcasts. And if you have a really big, thriving audience to begin with, you've got a lot of followers on a social media channel, you can ask your audience on social media for questions. And then those questions and you answering them, that can become either a segment of your podcast, or it can be an entire podcast in and of itself, or maybe like an alternating episode format. But it's a really great way to show the audience, hey, I'm actually paying attention to you. I have noticed you. I have seen you. And in a relationship that's often really one-sided, where the audience member feels like they know the host really well, but the host doesn't know their audience at all, this is a beautiful way to start changing that a little bit.
I have to say that's antithetical to the way I run my podcast.
Okay. You run your podcast for your business, and that's good.
That's true. That's true. Okay. List growth. I found this to be both intriguing, obvious, and not sure why it's on the list. So tell me about the metric of list growth. It would seem to me to be incredibly straightforward, yet you think it's important enough that it needs to be tracked, evaluated, and then in compliance world, we'd say remediated, but utilized on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, well, I think this is about, I mean, it's one of the things that a business can value enough to optimize their podcast for. You don't have to, but you know, email is still where a lot of sales happen on the internet. And so for a lot of businesses, it is really important. And there's no reason that your podcast can't be sort of tweaked and modified and optimized to get more of it. Typically, in this case, by planning your content and calls to action such that parts of your episode are gated by email in some way. Now, sometimes you'll see this, and I think we'll talk about this in another metric, you gate content by making people pay for some of it. But you don't have to do that. You can gate some of your content and make people raise their hand and say, actually, I do really want to listen to this, by having them submit their email address and join your email list. And that can be parts of episodes, it can be whole special bonus episodes, it can be segments, it can be extended content, anything that you might charge a premium version for, you can also make part of an email list optimization strategy.
So I was intrigued by the types of businesses it can work for, but let's put it into your context or your framework of Prime Directives. What blueprints does it fit?
This is a great conversion type of podcast. If the change that you want somebody to make in their relationship with you goes from, say, listener to subscriber, this is something that you might want to optimize for. It's also really good for a content podcast because you can do anything with a content podcast. And it's great for audience engagement too, because people who know and like you enough to listen to your podcast, a subset of them are going to be willing to take that next step and give up their email address and read your emails in order to get that extra access to you and your content.
Megan, if I could say there was one disappointment I had in the book, it was in the next section on this topic, where I'm just going to read directly from the book.
The line reads,
one of the top 100 business podcasts we looked at the end of 2023. That I understood what that line meant. But if someone was new to Megan Doherty, someone was new to the work you've done, they're not going to understand the significance of that line. So I'm going to stop right here and ask you to talk about what you do annually in terms of looking at the top 100 business podcasts and the report you generate from that review.
Boy, am I glad we decided to keep it going for at least another year. The State of Business Podcasting Report is a project that we started in 2020. And it came about because as a producer of business podcasts, people were always asking me questions like, how long should my episodes be? When should I release? How often should I release? What should my cover art look like? Where should I promote it? And I had pretty good guesses about those things back in 2020, but I didn't have any firm data or answers.
And you're all about the data.
I'm all about the data. And it occurred to me that if that data didn't exist, there was nothing stopping my team and I from going out and collecting it. So that's what we did. We pulled a list of the top 100 business podcasts from Apple, and we evaluated them that first year on about 50 different criteria, from show structure to sponsorship to social media to cover art to branding, all of it. And since then, we've expanded it to 75 different criteria, which is really fun. We've been running it every year, and we're going to be doing it again this year. But it, for us, is kind of the guidepost of what's changing in the industry, what's on its way in, what's on its way out, what are people doing, where's the focus. And it's pretty cool.
I think it's extraordinarily cool. But that really, the reason I read that line, and it came from this section, but it leads into your example for this metric. So could you talk about list growth, or at least the example rather, on list growth that you pulled from your 2023 research?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the things that I personally enjoyed the most about the State of Business Podcasting Report, is I get to see what these kind of like leading podcasts are doing. And this one that we looked at, the show had been running for a really long time. I think there were at least a decade probably of archival content. And that's a lot of content for a new listener to try and get it. That's an overwhelming amount of content. So what they did as an opt-in is you could kind of join this membership, and it was free just by email. And then they had a database of all of their episodes that was organized and searchable by topic. And for someone who is interested in the topic, in the brand, in the host, that is such a valuable resource that it's almost a no-brainer to sign up to get this really well-organized database. It's going to tell you exactly what you want to listen to, in what order, and why, along with some other bonuses, of course. But I thought it was such a great use of older podcast content to get a listener, or even a new website visitor, to take that next step and join the email list, where so many other things can happen for a business.
Megan, next up is sales qualified leads. And once again, this would seem to be so self-evident or self-obvious that you might not need a metric. But what I loved about this one is you could respond, yes, Tom, you're absolutely right. It is self-evident, but let's put some rigor around it and let's study it so that we can improve it. So talk to us about this as a metric, as opposed to actually getting a sales qualified lead. Why is it looking at it as a metric important? And then what blueprint does it fit into?
Yeah, so of course, any business that's been around a lot enough or has kind of robust enough sales systems to have sales qualified leads knows that they can be hard and expensive and difficult to get. So getting somebody onto the phone or even having the information that you'd get in touch with them to start a real sales conversation can be really challenging. And a podcast can be a way to connect directly with people who might become those sales qualified leads. And actually, when you look into kind of the broader podcasting, especially podcasting for business industry, people often say, we'll list this as one of the reasons that you should have a podcast, is that you can talk directly to your clients, then you can sell them. And I think most of that advice doesn't quite go far enough in terms of the relationship building aspect of it, because it's very easy for that to be a tacky and unpleasant experience. But if you do have a well-designed show that's really serving a purpose that exists outside of selling something, you're creating good content, you're providing value of some kind to the person you're talking to and to the people that are listening, you can really create an engine where people are lining up for the opportunity to talk to you. And you can have pre-qualified who you have as a guest to be just composed of people who would be good clients. Doesn't mean they're all going to become clients, but it does mean that you're setting yourself up for the opportunities to have conversations in a really natural, low pressure way with a lot more of them. And that can do a lot in terms of smoothing out your sales processes.
Can you give us an example of this metric, Megan?
Yes, I can. So I'm gonna give you a bad example for this one. This is a story from the book. Most of my examples here, you'll get to read in more detail in the book. But this was a really hard sell podcast, and I know exactly who they were targeting. They were targeting business owners who were not very tech savvy, who were definitely not podcast producers. They made a mistake with me. They had me onto this 5-minute daily show, and it was just a couple questions about the business, a couple about our theories. And I thought, okay, cool. This is a fun little daily thing. I'll be on it. It'll be great. But then I got put into this sales cycle. I was apparently listed as a good lead, or they did this to absolutely everybody that came on the show. And I got a call from someone who said, wow, that was one of the best interviews that we've had in ages. The engagement stats that we were watching live while you were recording were through the charts. And I said, goodness, that's very nice, isn't it? And they said, this was so great. We think we'd like to offer you your own show on our network. So that's very exciting too. Tell me more. And he's like, normally we would charge someone $15,000 for this opportunity, but for you, we'll do it for 10. And so they had this whole spiel, and it was just such a gross experience. And it could have been so great is the thing. This could have been very legitimately like a pre-sales qualifying step in their process that could have been pleasant, that I might've been very interested in. But because it was done so ham-fistedly, I found it really off-putting. But the same basic principle of this is a person who would be a great target for our business, instead of getting them immediately into a sales cycle, you can do it a lot more elegantly and have a nice real conversation with someone, maybe solve a problem or do some live coaching, on an episode. That's going to be valuable to them. It's going to be valuable to everyone listening. And you can, after the episode goes live, say, hey, this was an exciting conversation. Would you like to discuss this in more detail? That would give someone a really nice opportunity to say yes, but also an opportunity to say no.
Megan, from the next metric, you move from qualified sales lead to product sale. Can you explain what that is, how that may be different than a sales lead, and then what blueprint does it fit?
So for product sales, and Tom, I don't know if this is the same in your industry as it is. I came up in internet marketing, and everybody wants a product. Oh, does everybody want a product they can sell that will sell itself overnight? And you'll wake up in the morning and you'll have dozens of new clients. They bought this product and you didn't have to do anything. Everybody wants one, and they're really hard to get. Something that works like that can be really challenging. But if you optimize your podcast to sell something that is typically lower ticket, we're not talking huge coaching programs or huge courses. We're talking books. We're talking lower price courses, things that people can pretty easily make the decision to buy. Then you can use your podcast to demonstrate the value of them, demonstrate how well they work, even to create them, as we talked about in creating new products, and talk to people who have used them, talk about the problems that they've solved. This can all be happening within the context of your podcast, either as episodes or alternate episodes or as segments. And that can be leading people into a funnel where they are purchasing these kind of entry-level offers that you may have within your business. And this is a conversion style of podcast, and it can also work fairly well with thought leadership, audience engagement, and content.
Megan, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode, but before we leave, I wanted to ask you if our listeners wanted any more information on the book or to perhaps pre-order it, where can they go?
You can go get it, get the book, which is going to have not only all of the metrics that we're talking about on these episodes, but exhaustive instructions on how to deploy them within your own podcast and how to track how well it's working. The details are all at podcastingforbusiness.com/book.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcasting for Business, the book. I hope you will check out Megan's book. We've linked to the resource in the show notes. You can pre-order it now. I would encourage you to do so and also attend her virtual Podcasting for Business conference, which will be held in May. Hope you'll join us tomorrow for our final look at metrics, where we consider monthly recurring revenue, labor-saving costs, affiliate sales, sponsorships, and downloads, all on this episode.